Hello and welcome to the We'll Never Die podcast, coming to you now live, obviously Monday night. It's a long slog this episode when there's no Monday night football on to watch. I've been waiting for all day for it to come on. But lads, last Monday we spoke and we were talking about United's team and potential incomings, and we had all unanimously agreed that there would be no more signings. Bar maybe we thought Harry Kane, maybe last minute, something like that. But you could probably put a grand in front of me now and it is said I never would have thought that we were gonna sign Ronaldo within a week.
We actually said he'd be 70 and retired and we'd still be fucking in for him, we said.
Yeah,
and fucking reverse.
Yes, said it. And 6 days later we fucking signed him. So yeah, absolutely unbelievable. I was in bits. I couldn't believe it, you know, an absolute hero of mine, and obviously all of ours were all around a similar age, you know. We've seen him become the greatest player in the world, winning the Ballon d'Or. We've never seen anyone else win the Ballon d'Or at United, you know. So yeah, absolutely unbelievable. Kyle, you know, we've seen him together in Old Trafford. We've seen him be the greatest in the world. You know, what did you feel like when we seeing that we actually nicked him from City?
Yeah, I think that because he was linked with City, it made it that much sweeter. Do you know what I mean? He was 1-9 to go to City at one stage, and see, oh, it was horrible. Like all the City fans, but it made it that bit sweeter. I'm actually glad now that he was linked with City because it rubs it in their face. But look, it's like Christmas comes early. Like, it's what a sign. And I don't care if he's 36 or he's past his best. You're getting Ronaldo back. You're getting the best player that you could arguably ever played for United. Definitely that we've seen it, anyways.
Yeah, 100%.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. And actually, on it, you know, I said this on the podcast last night with the lads, and we were saying, I don't care if Ronaldo's actually terrible. It's the sentiment that means more to me. He's come home, you know, that way. And I don't care how he really plays. He's saved his legacy. Like, he's forever now. He's a god. He's in that kind of George Best, kind of Bobby Charlton, that level now for Man United because he's come back. Granted, people like, yeah, he's coming back for money, but is he really? He probably would have got more at City. Do you know that way?
Of course he
got more at Paris Saint-Germain. You know that way? But he's coming to United because he loves United, you know? Carl, I come to you. You know, obviously we were all texting the group and we fucking couldn't believe it. but just put it into words. Like, what was it like on that day? When was it, Friday? Was it our Thursday?
It was like I think it was a Thursday. I suppose it's a bag of mixed emotions. Like, you just kind of like, yeah, in your head, you think, oh, you can't go to City, you can't do that to us, you can't do that to us. And then all of a sudden, Ole has his interview before the Wolves game, and we're involved. Like, honestly, look at kid at Christmas, like, buzzing, absolutely buzzing. Like, to be honest with you, I'm kind of, if he doesn't do anything, I don't care. Like, he's going to literally just lift that club.
Yeah.
He's going to lift the players. Imagine the likes of Greenwood, Martial, Rashford, like, just picking his brain. Seeing what he does, acting, seeing how he acts, how he conducts himself, like it's just gonna help everything. But let's be honest, he's gonna score goals. Even if he's not to, he's gonna score goals. You know what I mean?
Of course he is, and especially in Europe as well. You know, he's gonna want to extend that goal scoring record into Champions League. You know, because Messi's gonna get them with Paris Saint Germain, isn't he now as well? And especially him being in League One, he'll score 40 goals.
I just can't wait to see the interview, see him in the jersey.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm really looking forward to that. Like, I'm kind of checking Twitter every day and I'm refreshing everything just to see when it's been breaking news and you see the interview. Like,
and I actually, we'll touch on it in a minute, but I actually seen, we know Dan James obviously is going to be moving on, and they reckon that Cavani is actually going to get 21 because that's his number he wears for Uruguay.
All
right. And then they were, there's a free up 7. Is it a kind of coincidence or is it one of these things? I don't really care, to be honest with you. if he got number 7, it'd be fantastic. But only if it didn't put Bleeding Cavani out, because we know what happened at Martial that time. Ian, you know, coming to you on Ronaldo, again, we've been to Manchester, you know, together, and we've seen Ronaldo. But in terms of, you know, what is he going to bring to the dressing room, like what Carl says, I feel like he's like the anti-Pogba. I feel like he's going to bring an experience, a positivity, where you feel like Pogba is a negative. He drains from the squad a little bit, or it's all about him. I think Ronaldo at United is a different Ronaldo. You know, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's a different player now than what we had when he left. Obviously, when he left, he was a flying winger and obviously turned into a centre forward. But you know what I think? Obviously, brilliant for us, even the sentiment side of it, and even in terms of cementing his legacy, not that he even needs to. But it's funny as well, like, I don't know, do you notice in the media, when he was going to City, they were all saying, oh yeah, brilliant signing for City. He'll win him the league, he'll win him the Champions League.
Yeah.
Signs for us, he's washed up, over the hill, his past is best, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I just hope now that he turns around and wins us the league or Champions League or something. And just, I was going to say proves everyone wrong. He doesn't need to. But it just goes to show we're still the biggest draw in the world and we're still the most hated club in England, yet we haven't won a league title in, what, 8 years.
Yeah, they're shite bags. You know, I couldn't believe the way they were going on. Like, even the likes of Robbie and Gav that's on the Big Six podcast, the things they were saying in the WhatsApp group when it was City, they were like, unbelievable bit of business by City. And then the next thing out of my mouth when he signed for United was, can't believe they're giving him 480 grand a week. And like, it's all really for City, signed. But not for us. You know?
Everyone we sign, there's issues with the players. You know what I mean? Like, before they're linked to United, everyone loves them. They get linked to United, that's it. Oh, no, he's brutal. What he's signing
for? Sure, yeah. And even Liverpool fans. And I've seen Liverpool fans there during the week being like, he's signed a pensioner. He's crying out for a player like Ronaldo. He's actually crying out for a centre forward like Ronaldo. You would have absolutely loved for him to come to Liverpool, and you should have given him anything. So don't give me that show. He's gonna, as I said, and you said, Carl, he's gonna score goals.
No, yeah, he is. Without
he's going to score goals.
Yeah, look, his ego's so big. He's the best in the world, and he knows he's the best in the world. He even hates being compared to Messi. He wants to be out there in his own. He wants to be number one. He won't go to United now and look, I've done what I've done 12 years. I'm going to sit here now for a season.
Sort of stuff.
He sets his standards so high. He'd be disappointed in games when he's not scoring.
100%.
Like, he's still 36. Like, realistically, he nearly has the body of a 21-year-old. Like, he just keeps himself in ridiculous shape. You know what I mean? Like, to think that he's not going to do much, I suppose we're probably a bit mad as well. Like, even if we kind of think we don't care if he doesn't do anything, but he is going to, like, he's going to hit the ground running. The club in the whole is just going to be in a hole. Like, the fans are buzzing. Everyone's buzzing, you know what I mean? Like, so many United fans, that's all we're talking about, was Ronaldo.
That's unreal. I genuinely have not been happy. Like, I've never been happier for signing a player. You know?
Same.
Like, even Cave Solacall on Sky said it's the biggest transfer since the last time Ronaldo signed for United.
Yeah.
But it's actually bigger. Because when we signed him, he was an up-and-coming, you know, what if he's this good? What if he's a superstar? We've actually signed a bona fide legend of world football. You know the way? And a legend of Manchester United that's coming
and
back.
He's still at the top of the game.
Of course.
That's the scary part about it.
You know,
who scored Lukaku last season?
Yeah. Juventus finished fourth. Yeah, but Ronaldo still outscored Lukaku and he went for 90
top,
million.
Top goal scorer the Euros as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. You know what I mean? So what does that say? You know that way? So like, he's absolutely outstanding and I'm just over the moon that he signed for United and not City. Like, that would have killed me. I probably wouldn't have done this podcast anymore.
But then again, City, as I said, it makes it that whole story, it makes it that smart. So it's like Berbatov that time. When
do you know, actually,
makes it that midfielder.
Do you know, I have a theory here, and I know you might say this is nuts, but like, on, I reckon the whole Ronaldo going to City, right, was a whole load of smokescreens bullshit. For City to get good news out of there after the news broke out about Benjamin Mendy.
Yeah, do you know what? I feel like that it may have been Mendes trying to store up interest in United.
Yeah, I think
to sign Ronaldo. But at the same
Benjamin Mendy.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure about the whole Mendy thing. I think he is just a bleeding rapist and we leave it there. But I think, like, Guardiola said it in his press conference. He was like, oh, Ronaldo decided where he wants to go. So I think City were interested, you know, but I don't know whether they were as interested as people made out in terms of they were discussing contracts and all the sort of stuff. They pulled out pretty quickly as soon as United got involved, which they waved the white flag. As soon as we wanted him, he was always going to go.
You couldn't have seen then after he kind of rejected, well, you wouldn't say rejected City, but he did, like, kind of like City were unsure about him and all this kind of stuff, and you're just kind of like, let's be honest, you're talking bollocks. He's one of the two best players in the world, you know what I mean? You're not unsure about him at any age.
What would you be unsure of?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, unsure whether he's going to be good. You know what I mean? Like, it's a farce, you know? But look, lads, he's home. Viva Ronaldo, absolute legend. And let's hope for a good season, and he lifts the league at the end of the season with us. Staying with the transfer market, I touched on it a few minutes ago. Dan James looks like that he's gone to Leeds. We've absolutely rinsed them for 30 million euros, £25 million. I can't believe we've made a profit on them, let alone even get, £25 million for them. So, yeah, that's an outstanding bit of business by the likes of Darren Fletcher and John Morto and Ed Woodward to get that much from. Look, could he get any better at Leeds? Yeah, I think absolutely he could, especially with Bielsa. But is he going to get any better at United? No. And I think it was a great bit of business to cash in on. And what do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, look, I was saying to myself, if you can get between 15 to 20 million for him, it's great. But to get that money from him is excellent. But look, with Ronaldo coming in, that's the exit door open for Dan James, because it's going to be Cavani, Ronaldo now through the middle, whatever, who plays, and then it's going to be Greenwood and Sancho out, right? There's no space for Dan James. And to be honest, he's too young to be sitting on a bench or sitting on a, not even named in squads now with the attacking options United have. Like, he won't even be named in match day squads. Like, so
he's toured him for choice now on probably either flank. Rashford, Martial and Lingard and Pogba play on that side. So I agree with you. He was probably toward choice at best. And a great piece of business. Cian, what do you think? 30 million is a fucking farcical price for him.
It is really, but look, being honest, I don't mean to be targeting the same fella again, but if it was me, I'd be selling Martial first and then James.
I was gonna get on to Martial, but you couldn't even wait to stick the knife in. You had to let him have it. We're only 12 minutes in the fourth chap. Carl, I'll give you the last word on Dan James before we move on to public enemy number one.
Yeah, look, we've absolutely robbed Leeds here. Like, 30 million is an absolute steal. He's kind of said, lads, he's down the pecking order again. Like, listen to Ole's kind of post match interview there. He was saying, Ronaldo basically plays through the middle and there's no if what time maybe he's about it. So it just goes to show we'll probably end up seeing Cavani left at times. Ronaldo's gonna be the main man, and that just pushed James even further down the list, you know. So he's better off gone to get 30 million. Jesus, Leeds are fucking mad.
It's mad. Ronaldo cost us 25.
That pays for Ronaldo. Like.
That's a transfer feedback. It's crazy, stuff. You know. But look, there's a couple of other players that have obviously gone. Andreas Pereira has gone on another loan. But as Cian rightly said, just for the podcast, it does seem to be a feel of it's an obligation to buy him, or that he's just going to go. He's out of contract as well, so no big loss there. Tuan Zebe has gone on loan to Villa again. Whether he plays an awful lot, I'm not really too sure, because Konsa and Mings are seen to be solid there for Villa regular. So I'm not really sure that was a good move for him, to be quite honest with you. Then you have a couple of youth players then that have gone as well. Garner, Levitt and Laird are all gone out on loans again. So, but the two main ones obviously that we're looking at are Lingard and Martial. And Cian, obviously I'll come to you first because you hate him. But Martial, he's played in the first three games of the season. Whether it's been off the bench or starting, obviously against Southampton. So Or you have a feeling he's going to stay. Realistically, do you think he's going to stay, or what's your thoughts on it?
Realistically, he will stay, but hopefully, look, that we can get some bit of money from him in January or something. And to be honest, well, look, obviously the reason why Daniel James played two out of the three first games of the season was obviously with him going to Leeds. So I'm kind of still half open that we might get an offer tomorrow for Martial.
Cutting a very fine. Look, if he's going to go anywhere, it's probably going to be on loan at this stage, isn't it? Because he's on big money as well, so it's not going to be a small team coming in for him. You never know, and I'm not being funny. If Mbappe goes to Real Madrid, I wouldn't be surprised if PSG said we'll take Martial on loan until they kind of sort out a Haaland thing or something, you know, that way, because he would be of a similar type of player, nowhere near the quality, but a type, the same type of player that could move across the front three, you know, that way. Like, they signed Choupo-Moting, so they'll definitely sign Martial.
True.
You know, Coyle, Lingard, I would love personally if Lingard was to go now, especially given we've just got 30 million in. Not that we're short of money, but if you give Lingard and 30 million, you probably are testing West Ham, you know, maybe 50 million. You know, I really think we should go hell for leather for them now in the last day to put the pressure on them, you know.
Yeah, I think especially with us needing a six. And look, I think it's more that we want Rice. I don't think Rice wants United, to be honest with you. But look,
I think do you know what? I think everyone wants United deep down. Do you know that way? And I know we want Chelsea, but if United come knocking, they don't come knocking twice. Do you know that way?
We'll just think, look, test them. It's the last day of the transfer window tomorrow. Test them. Throw them off Rice. Safety panic. Do you know what I mean? Give them a nice offer.
Is Rice number one for you?
As a six, yeah, 100%. Definitely.
Yeah, no one else.
I'm not even buying this. Like, a lot of, as I said, like, a lot of people turn a blind eye to him because of the whole Ireland and England shite. But look, take that away. Look at the way he plays football. Look at his ability. Great player. Great number six. And even his leadership skills. Like, he captained West Ham at 20, I think.
Yeah.
I know Mark Noble got old and fizzled out of the team, but that could have went to Ogbonna. That could have went to any senior player at West Ham. But for a 19-year-old to take the captaincy, he's an excellent player.
Carl, what do you reckon on the two boys, Martial and Lingard? Will they go anywhere?
As much as I'd love to see Martial gone, I don't think we will see him leaving. Now, unless, like, we get a surprise offer from somewhere. But, look, I genuinely don't see that happening. I think he'd probably be sticking around. Like, at those performances, who would want them? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Exactly, it's hard to sell someone who doesn't play well. In terms of Lingard, again, Ronaldo coming in, you kind of think he's pushed down the pecking order again. He probably will look for that move. West Ham, obviously, the likely candidates for that. But I'd be similar to Coyle and yourself, really. If the option does come up to go for Rice, go for him. If not, I'd kind of like the look of that lad at Brighton, the Suma. I think he's a decent baller. He does a job. He works hard. Like you show them 30 million, they're not going to turn their eye at it. They're not going to turn their head at it, you know what I mean? So there's a couple of options out there. I think definitely we do need a number six, but I wouldn't mind having a look at the same possibly if Rice is kind of no, but like realistically, not many people turn down United either, you know.
No, and that's what I mean when I said to Coyle. I'm like, if Declan Rice doesn't want to go to United, I think he's foolish. I think, you know, there's nothing to stop him going to United and then potentially going to it. I'm not funny going to a Chelsea, because if Chelsea go and win the league this year or win the Champions League again, you know, they're bigger than United. Let's call it.
Yeah, right. Like, Rice can't be living the rest of his career on what if Chelsea come in. At the end of the day, Chelsea have Kante, Kovacic, Jorginho.
I really think
he's not
going to
get in. Touch with, why do you don't need him? I mean,
you'd be getting in touch with Rice's agent and saying, you know, what does he want to go? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, realistically, if Chelsea win the league or Champions League, are they going to be looking at Rice? Like, they're probably going to go up probably a tier and be looking. Like, if they do, they don't even need that. That's the thing. They don't actually need that.
They, like, the three players that I have there going across the screen, you know, you're looking at Rice to come in and do a job straight away. Yeah. You're looking at Bissouma, who looks promising and he's in the league, and you probably get him for cheaper. Or do you go with the world-class prospect in Camavinga? You know, that way, they're the three for me that it's one of them three that you're going to get. If you go for someone, look, I think it's unlikely now, really, at this stage. I think United, I've got a bonus in Ronaldo, which is to send.
There's no pressure. The board won't be questioned one bit. Definitely we don't bring in anyone tomorrow because he's on Ronaldo. So they know that.
I think Carl has a great point, though, about Lingard, in that if Ronaldo plays up front, or if he, say, finds himself on the left for a couple of games, if you're trying to get Cavani in the team as well, Lingard again falls down the pecking order. He's in a form in terms of, like, you know, his value is probably the highest it's going to be now for the rest of his career. I feel like you cash in on him, and all of a sudden then you've got 60 million. If he goes for 30 million, say you've 60 million there from Dan James and Lingard, just go and buy Rice. You know, I really think United, you know, you should go for him. But whether
Lingard
happens
himself
or not,
should want, I'm not saying publicly push him out, but for his own sake and his own career, potentially wanting to get back in the England squad, he should be wanting to play first-team football, and he's not going to get that,
absolutely.
You know.
You would think with Ronaldo coming in, he would, like, he'd be looking at, like, kind of the situation with James and be thinking that. But I suppose players are different, you know what I mean? Like, but I just can't understand. But
you've seen how close he was last year to getting an England call-up. That's because he was playing week in, week out at West Ham. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Assistant, scoring, he's not going to get the looking,
maybe he's looking at Dan James being sold and saying that's an opening for him. You know, he can look at the other side of the coin as well and say, well, forget about Ronaldo. You know, Dan James has gone, oh, you get pushed up the pecking order. And Lingard can play on the right, on the left, or as a 10. He can kind of play in any of them positions. But it's the quality. You know, he's not up to that level, I don't think, at United. But again, it's a long season and you do need a big squad. So, and he's a good lad, Lingard. He's not a bad apple or anything like that. So,
yeah, true.
It's not like we need to get rid of him, but he's definitely an asset to try and get rid of, you know. Right, lads, let's move on. Look, that's the transfer market, and I really do think this time, don't think we're going to get it too wrong like we did last week. I really think we probably are done.
We were signing no one last week.
They're probably bringing Mbappe tomorrow or something.
Yeah, we
signed Boy Jack to Madrid now or something.
Yeah, fucking hell. We signed Kante or something tomorrow.
Jesus, if it did happen, in all seriousness, like, we'll just go with, might as well just go with Cavani, Ronaldo, Mbappe.
Greenwood, Sancho,
Fernandez. Don't bother with anybody else.
Just sell Sancho. But look, touching on that, look, let's get into the Wolves game. Obviously, we massively got out of jail. We were so bad. 1-0 win away from home on paper looks grand, but we were really, really bad, weren't we, Coyle?
Yeah. It was a poor game. Tempo the whole game was just so slow. They never got out of second gear. They never looked like trying to bring the games to the Wolves. They weren't knocking on the door all game. It was like they were just a training match. Like, they didn't trouble Wolves at all. Wolves looked comfortable out of possession. They didn't look troubled. The lack of chances created by United with the likes of Fernandez, Pogba, Sancho on the pitch was unbelievable. Even when Cavani came on, he came on with half an hour to go, 35 minutes to go.
He actually came on like 5 minutes after half time,
and he didn't even get a clear chance.
Got the second half.
There wasn't a clear chance provided to him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So really poorly.
You know, Keane, what did you make of it? Did you get a chance to watch it? Yeah.
Yeah. Other than Greenwood and Varane, we would, and obviously De Gea as well for the saves you made. Other than that, we would have been ghosted altogether.
Yeah.
Because we were nowhere near the races.
Who was the worst player on the pitch for you for United?
Fred.
Jesus, yeah.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. Sancho gave him a run for his money.
Well, I think Fred is actually so consistently poor that, yeah, actually, we have to start looking at different players because it's we're singing the same song, picking Fred every week. Yeah. I think Fred's that bad. You have to kind of look at other players.
Yeah.
Do you know what's fairly bad, though? Just on the Fred thing, because Fred, I think, was it last year? I actually thought played very, very well throughout the whole season. Yeah. With McTominay, the two of them were excellent. And he was aggressive. He was winning the ball. He was sharp. You know, he really was. And I thought, geez, you know what? He could actually come good. And he's just massively just regressed back to the way he was when what's-his-face was there, Mourinho. You know, he's gone back down to that bad level. So I agree with you, Coyle, on that. I think
this is the problem. Like, we paid 50 million for him. You don't give a player that you played 50 million for low wages. He'd be on decent wages as well. It's gonna come now. 2 years. We're talking about Martial now and trying to get. You be talking about Fred in a year's two time, and he's on big wages. Be hard to get rid of.
Yeah. What do you think, Carl, of the game against Wolves? And as we said, touching on the players we've already mentioned.
We are poor overall. I think we had 3 shots on target all game, which is just not good enough. You know, like, there was. Again, we're kind of repeating ourselves. Too many players not playing well. Too many players not showing up. A lot of lads didn't look interested. Like, again, we're singing the same Fred. Like, I think in the first 15 minutes, I think he probably gave the ball at least about 15 to 20 times away. Like, stupid 5-yard passes, can't make them. Put us under pressure, immense pressure, a number of times. Sancho looked stuffed. He looked awful. Shaw, again, looked. I thought Shaw was terrible again. Created nothing, kind of just didn't look interested. Passes as well. Terrible. Bruno again, I didn't think was much of him again. It's just kind of just seems like we're kind of dependent on the same kind of players at Greenwood making a goal out of nothing, to be honest. Like,
it's individual brilliance getting us out of jail.
Yeah. Roy Keane said it. He said he's kind of giving it to our players to just say, go and change the game. And look, yeah, that you do need that in a game, but you also need, you know, attitude and hard work. And there was just none of that. You know, I think Keane touched on Varane, and yeah, I don't think he'd done anything wrong in the game, but they were targeting Maguire and Shaw. You know, that way they were with Trinkau, and then Adama Traore came on this side as well. So they knew the two of them were really poor, and I think they've been awful since the start of the season. The two of them, even against
I think Traore had so much joy against Wan-Bissaka for such large periods of that first half.
Only thing I will say about that, though, he didn't take Wan-Bissaka on once. Every time he got it, he was drifting inside because he was going towards Maguire and Varane. He was going towards the centre of the pitch, and I don't think Wan-Bissaka missed him once, I think, with a tackle. But yeah, you're right. He was kind of drifting in all the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, big time. But look, I was kind of looking at the highlights here again. Like, and it's just like there was no clear-cut chances even. Like, it just didn't look like we had any creativity. And like, you're playing with Pogba, Bruno and stuff on the pitch. You're kind of, like, I feel when Bruno has a bad game, he has a bad game, and that's it. Like, there's just kind of, you're not getting much from him, you know, that kind of way. But, to be honest, man, I'm at the stage now where I hate Fred, but I really hate Fred now. It's just not good enough. It's just simply just not good enough. He could have cost us the game the weekend, like.
Easily. Should that touch he took and it landed to Blaine Tree or to Trinkau, and then he tried to catch him and went out in his face, and only for Wan-Bissaka got behind the head and cleared it, like, you know what I mean? That I reckon on another day that could have been 4-0 to Wolves. They had that many chances. And United just massively got out of jail. And look,
the thing is, though, he'll start against Newcastle. Sorry for coming across it. He'll probably start against Newcastle again. And it's what's Ole looking at that we're not fucking seeing? You know what I mean? Like, because it's just not good enough. Sorry for coming across it there before.
No, you're 100% right. And what I was gonna say actually was that if it's not Fred and McTominay, we know, is out injured, well, then who is it? Is it Matic? Is it Van de Beek? Because that's it then. Realistically, you have no one else. So I think that's where I think, you know, touching back on the whole transfer thing, if they have a pair of balls, they'll go for someone, but I don't think they will. But, Kyle, what happens in midfield? Does Pogba stay in there for the season?
I think when Rashford comes back, if he comes back flying and there's no setbacks in terms of injury, I think you'd be looking to obviously go Rashford, Ronaldo, Sancho. And that frees up Pogba then. You can put Pogba back into the midfield. But it's who you play beside him. Do you know what I mean? And do you trust Pogba to do the defensive work as well? Yeah. Along with trying to create things as well. Because the onus can't be on Fernandes all the time. You've seen it today. You've seen it on Sunday. He has a bad game. There's no creation anywhere.
I equally hate Matic as much as I hate Fred, Kane. I think Matic is basically like a centre-back, how deep he drops, and he never goes over the halfway line. So he's not the answer for me. But what do you think is the resolution, or is there one, or do we just have to persevere with Fred?
Well, I'm not saying this is the resolution at all, but I've heard some people say to try Lindelof in there.
He actually played there an awful lot for Benfica. He played defensive midfield, and for Sweden he played there as well. Now he's not.
In the six, breaking things up and all.
Imagine he was world class. Imagine he was absolutely world class.
Missing every header like normal.
I saw somebody else mention Mata as well. Him as the six as well, like, and they're just starting to.
Give Van de Beek a bleeding chance. See what he does. If he doesn't do it for a couple of games, it's gonna. He can pass the ball.
Fred need to grab a fence drill.
Yeah, and you know what? Van de Beek can tackle. You know, I've seen him in a couple of games, and he's getting stuck in. But you're right; it's the passing for me, and he's always leaving people short on the ball. Van de Beek.
We're constantly getting caught down on the break. Like you've seen it with Fred, for example, this weekend. We invite the pressure on by poxy shy 5-yard passes. That's avoiding pressure onto us. He's like, I don't know, look, to be honest, man, it's the first Brazilian I've ever seen that can't pass the ball 5 yards. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, he's so bad.
You must have never watched Cleverson.
I did, but I'm not going back that far.
But look, I mean, no one's going to remember this game after the international break. It's one of them that you say 3 points, smash and grab, and you just get out of it. But it's the fact that Southampton was like that as well. Now Wolves and our players aren't playing well. You know that way, but maybe the Ronaldo thing gives everyone a lift. you know, gives everyone kind of a, he comes into training, you never know, makes his debut at home to Newcastle, and that's our next game. So yeah,
look, that's the thing, like those perform, as you said, like those performances against Southampton and Wolves, you can play bad in those games and get a smash and grab. But when you step it up a gear in terms of the higher level teams, not even going to the top four, the likes of your Everton's, the likes of your West Ham's, the likes of your Leicester's, when you go away to them and play like that, you won't get a smash and grab.
Like, if you're not creating anything against them, you're not gonna win games, you know what I mean? Like realistically. Like West Ham seem to be outscoring everyone these days, so it's kind of going to be one of those things. Like, but I just don't, like, hopefully the international break is came at a good time. I know it's only the start of the season, but I feel I was watching it there on Sunday, and the lads look bollocks. I don't know they just look like sluggish and no creativity at
couldn't
all.
Agree,
you know?
Couldn't agree more. I was only saying to myself before we came on the show, I was saying I actually think the international break came at a good time. You know, I think we looked lethargic before we got a hiding off someone. You know, and I'm not being funny. You go home to Newcastle, which you should be winning every single season without a shadow of a doubt. But then I believe we have a European game, and then we go away to West Ham. So that's what I'm trying to say.
If you had that, in the cup as well.
Yeah, that I don't know where that falls. Actually, it's still to be decided. I think they said it's the fall either before or the West Ham game, or after. So, but yeah, that's the type of thing that you're saying. You go away to West Ham, they could beat you 4-0. If you don't turn up, because we Antonio's on fire, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think we go Newcastle, and then it's away to Young Boys, away to West Ham, home to West Ham in the Cup, and then home to Villa. So it's kind of like the two West Ham games are going to be big games. Like, obviously, it's the League Cup, but like, you still want to be in with a shout, you know what I mean? But
that's where you flex your muscles a little bit with your squad, though, isn't it? That's when you do give Lingard the game, you know, whether Van de Beek is in the team or not at that stage, you don't know, but. That's when you need to be saying, right, boy, you're fit. Lindelof, you're fit. In you go. Yeah. And give the likes of Maguire and Shaw the rest. As much as they played every game under the sun, and Bruno, say, now, lads, yous are awful. Yous need a rest. You know that way? And do it. Look, if you get knocked out of the League Cup, so be it. I'm not being funny. It's the least priority out of the four.
Yeah, it's bigger fish to fry, yeah.
100%. And that's not us being big-headed, saying, we can afford not to win it. No, we do need to win something, but if there's one that you're going to take a risk with the team, it's going to be in the League Cup. Do you know what I mean? But look, we laid the Wolves game there. As you said, it was awful, but we got the win. Greenwood, 3 out of 3. He, you know, Robbie Fowler's record, you know, is only the fourth teenager to do it. Rooney, Michael Owen, Fowler, and now Mason Greenwood. And the first 3 games, 3 goals. And obviously a massive piece of history as well that we broke the Invincibles record. Unbeaten away games with 26, is it now? If I'm correct, 28 away from home, which is phenomenal. People can say what they want about having no fans, no one had fans though. Do you know what I mean? It's not just United, you know what I mean? No one had fans, so why didn't City go 28 unbeaten away? You know, you can't take credit away from them, they're absolutely phenomenal. And it's a good thing for Solskjaer to give, I think, for him to have and say, you know what, when he came in. Where would you say we were the worst on the pitch? It was at the back, without a shadow of a doubt. And now we've gone 28 games away from home unbeaten. So he has to get a lot of credit for that. But it mean nothing if we don't go on, really, doesn't it? And start winning games. So before we finish up, we'll touch on the Champions League, actually. The draw was made last week, and I think we got a fairly handy one. Probably the easiest one out of all the English teams, I think. Villarreal, Young Boys, and Atalanta, who were great a couple of years ago, not so much now. Lost a few players. So what do you think, Keane? I'll come to you first. It's a handy enough group, isn't it? Revenge for the Europa League final.
It won't be revenge at all, because like this, there's no trophies on, no trophies up for grabs in those two games, unfortunately. Yeah. But anyway, look, in anything less than topping that group ain't good enough, really. I'm honest, we should be topping it.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, what do you reckon?
Yes, reflect on what Keane said, really. Like, there's no reason we shouldn't be winning that group. Like, you can nearly have that group over in your first 3 or 4 games, and kind of then, like, realistically, if we win those first 3 or 4 games, we should be true. But I suppose it happened to us a couple of seasons ago where we kind of fucked up, you know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say. I think there's lessons to be learned, which Oscar wasn't there with the PSG. We beat them, and then we beat Leipzig, and then Istanbul beat us, and all of a sudden it unraveled. So, yeah, there's definitely lessons to be learned, I think, for Solskjaer. But, you know, you go away to young boys, you should be beating them. They're the whipping boys of the group. You know, that
Villarreal away will probably be the toughest game, realistically. Atlanta are not that much anymore. Like you said, they lost a lot. They lost a lot of players. But, like, anything less than top in that group is a failure, let's be honest. Yeah. Like,
I agree 100%. And our first three games are probably, you couldn't ask for better. You're away to young boys, you're home to Villarreal, and you're home to Atalanta. So you get 9 points out of your first three games there, and then you can afford to take the foot off the gas.
Yeah.
You play young boys then at Old Trafford. You win that, you top your group. So, and then you go away to Villarreal, and you go away to Atalanta, and you put a second team out, and you're through. You know, so that's the difference, I think, with Solskjaer last year. He got 9 points, or he got whatever it was. He had 9 points after four games, and he thought that was it. Lost the last two games, and we were out. If you get that 10 points, that's when you're laughing, you know. Coyle, obviously we've signed Ronaldo and we're going into the Champions League, and he's missed that Champions League. He has to have a massive effect when it comes to European football for United, doesn't he? That experience.
Yeah, look, he's a global superstar and he's still at the top of his game. And the top players do it at the top level, and that's the Champions League. It's the cream of the crop. And look, I think he's the all-time top goal scorer now in the Champions League, is he?
Yes.
So, look, even in as much as he's 36, he's 30 this, we're still thinking the last two or three seasons, even in his, 34, 35, 36, he's been either top goal scorer in Champions League or second top goal scorer. So,
yeah,
look, huge plus in Champions League.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. You know, lads, I think we spoke about this at the start of the season, and we said we fancy United to get to maybe the quarterfinals, but I know the draw is everything. You know, you can get PSG, or you can get Bayern Munich in the next round, and I get that. But with the addition of Ronaldo coming into the team, has to give it an extra boost, I think. You know, I think United with that team, if you're saying round of 16, quarterfinals and semis, you know, you have six games there to get to a final. Do you know that way? I wouldn't rule United out getting maybe to the semi-final with Ronaldo coming in. If he's the Ronaldo that we know, team, what do you
and
reckon?
Varane.
Yeah, Varane as well. Like, he's a superstar. I think Varane, I think, has bolstered an already good defence, if I'm being honest with you. But I think Ronaldo has transformed the entire club and team.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, Carl, the draw determines a lot, but I actually think we'll go a step forward now, considering we signed Ronaldo. I think United will get to the semi-final.
I'd like to think so. Like we said, he's going to massive boost to every single player. The club is just going to be on a high for months, let's be honest. The fans are going to be screaming his name week in, week out. Like, he's the kind of player that can change a game for you. We don't really have that, let's be honest. Like, Bruno can be on his day, but he gets goals from nothing. We look at Cavani runs his bollocks off, you know. But like, Ronaldo's Ronaldo at the end of the day. He's gonna get your goals regardless. Champions League is his competition. We should push on, but like, I'm hoping that he does make that difference to us. But like, I think looking at how we've been playing against Wolves and Southampton as well, like, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence either, you know, that kind of way. He kind of brings it in
I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, it's twofold that's given me a lot of confidence. It's also the groups that the other English teams have been drawn into. You know, City and I've gone to a Paris Saint-Germain, and the two of them will go through.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Leipzig have lost their centre-back, their manager, and they're bleeding forward now today. Sabitzer signed for Bayern Munich. So they're fairly comfortable enough, but Liverpool is not very straightforward, if I'm being honest with you. Porto, Atletico Madrid and Milan, you know, they're big names and they're not as big as they used to be, but Atletico Madrid done them, you know, a couple of years ago.
You won the Spanish league last year as well, Atletico.
They've strengthened again, you know. Then you look at Chelsea, fair enough, Chelsea got Juventus, Malmo and Zenit, so they should be straightforward enough, but there's something about that Liverpool group, you know. Then I'm looking at where was the other group that I actually thought was quite tasty. Now, give me one moment.
Paris's group, was it?
It's tasty. Yeah, seeing the Liverpool group.
This one, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and Benfica. You know, again, Barcelona, we don't know what version of Barcelona you're going to get.
You know, so
Benfica, I wouldn't rule Barcelona getting knocked out of that group. Really wouldn't. So if you lose a couple of big ones like that, you lose a Liverpool or a Barcelona in the group stages. And that's not, Liverpool are a great team. I'm not having a go because it's a United podcast, but they're in a very, very tough group.
Yeah, the reason why I think it's extremely tough, Liverpool's group, is because you look at the away games. We know how hard it is to go to Atletico Madrid Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The San Siro is unreal.
I think realistically...
And then Anfield as well.
Porto as well. Porto were the top team in Portugal.
You fancy all those teams playing at home against each other. Do you know what I mean? You probably would. Obviously not Porto at home to Liverpool or Porto at home to Atletico. But Milan at home to Liverpool or Atletico at home to Liverpool or vice versa. You'd fancy the home team because of the stadium and the crowd on Champions League nights. It's unbelievable.
100%. And look, it's going to look, we're in the conversation again. This is the most important thing, really. We finished third the year before last, second last year. You know, we're third at the minute after three games. Granted, again, there's only three games gone, but I think we'd lost two games at this stage last year, had we?
With Chelsea and Liverpool drawing as well, it was vital we had to get 3 points this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? We have to be still thereabouts. Like, so I think Spurs are 9 points, but you can look down at the table, City have seven, we have seven, Liverpool, Chelsea have seven as well now, I believe. So we just have to be thereabouts, you know what I mean? It was a must win, really. I know we're saying that early doors, but it really was. You don't want to be
four points or whatever, exactly. After three games. So no, I 100% agree with you, and I think it was massive that we won. And as well, Greenwood getting us out with Jade, he's really coming on as well, that kid, you know that. He's turning into a superstar. I had my doubts about him last year. Now, I'll be quite honest with you, I thought the England team rumbled him, maybe didn't recovered massively towards the end of last season, and he started, hit the ground running this year. Didn't get in the England squad either, which is a great thing for United.
I just hope we see him still playing even though Ronaldo comes in, you know what I mean?
I have a feeling you're gonna see Greenwood on the right, Sancho on the left, and Ronaldo through the middle. I think that's gonna be the team probably for the foreseeable. I think Sancho doesn't get in ahead of Greenwood on the right if he keeps scoring. You know that way.
Sancho really needs to, I don't know, but the last couple of, like, lads, I don't know about you, but I was watching Wolves, it's like, where is this player that we've been fucking harping on about, you know what I mean? I was expecting him to kind of, I think everyone was, all fans are kind of across the league was kind of expecting him to, on the ball, running at players.
I seen Bruno Fernandes at halftime pull him and say it to him. He was like, when you get the ball and you could see a mountain, he was, get the ball and go.
Go
with it. Stop coming back inside.
I'm sure he'll have it eventually.
Look, he's settling into the team. He's still, as Kyle said, he looks off the pace still.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know how, to be honest with you. And I know we've brought this up before about the league finishing early in Germany and didn't exactly kick a ball for England or too many. So, yeah, very, very bizarre. But look, we're taking an international break. Hopefully no injuries. Hopefully, nothing mad in terms of COVID coming back or anything like that and quarantine. I know Cavani was deselected by the Uruguayan national squad. They took him out of the squad.
Seen that there, yeah.
And he wasn't best pleased, but he's our player.
Great for us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he has to like it or lump it. I'm not being funny, but, he hasn't been there all season. So we need him to be fit and we need him to stay. I'm happy enough that he's not going, but lads, it's been a pleasure. We'll be back in 2 weeks, the 7th or 6th of September, after the 13th, after the Newcastle game. Hopefully Ronaldo gets his debut, whacks a few goals in against Newcastle, and we'll be talking here. Delighted that Ronnie is back. But thanks for joining me tonight, lads.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks.
See you soon.
See you soon.